It's the Central Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Pennsylvania's embattled Attorney General Kathleen Kane has survived an attempt by the state Senate to remove her from office. Kane faces criminal charges, and the state Supreme Court has suspended her law license. Senate Republicans say the suspension of her law license affects her ability to do her job. And while a majority of Republican lawmakers did vote yes, the final tally fell short of the constitutionally required two-thirds majority to remove her. But the legislature may not be through with Kathleen Kane. I'm joined now by phone by WHYY reporter Katie Collinari, who has been covering this story. Good day, Katie.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Republicans were trying to invoke a section of the state constitution that hasn't been used since 1891. What can you tell us about how this works?
Right. So, well, first of all, Republican leaders knew that they weren't going to have the votes to do it, but they still said that it was kind of a worthy process to go through. The vote again came down mostly along party lines. All but one Republican voted yes to remove her, and all but one Democrat voted no on the resolution. And that came after 3 hours of debate. Republicans argued that Kane basically couldn't do anything without a law license, that she's not just an administrator, that she's the Commonwealth's top lawyer. The sole Democrat who voted to remove her is Senator Rob Teplitz from Dauphin County, and as he put it, you can't separate attorney and general. But on the other side, the Democrats were arguing that while she's not an attorney in good standing, Kane is still a member of the state bar, which even Republicans admitted is sort of the first thing that the law puts as the first requirement to be attorney general in the first place. Democrats also expressed concerns about removing an official from office who was elected by millions of Pennsylvanians.
And there was also an interesting argument made here by Senator Wayne Fontana, who said that the Senate action would have used an archaic and almost never used section of the Constitution to produce a report authored by politicians from an opposing party to justify the removal of a sitting attorney general who hasn't been convicted of anything or even had her day in court. And again, that's Senator Wayne Fontana talking. But does this sum up the opposition's argument by the Democrats in the Senate?
Right. I think so. I mean, essentially what you heard from Democrats, you know, obviously because Kane is a Democrat and most of her political enemies are Republicans in the so-called Porngate scandal, which I'm sure we will get to momentarily. But essentially, Democrats were saying, you know, this is part of a political war that is being waged on Kane and that this wasn't the right process to take. That being said, a lot of Democrats did note in their speeches on the Senate floor that they've been urging Kane to just step down and kind of, you know, take the situation back into her own hands.
And he also said that, you know, the crux of the Republicans' argument here is that without her law license, she can't do her job. And certainly there have been some effective arguments made in regard to that. But again, going back to Senator Fontana's comments, he said that while we can debate the question of whether or not the attorney general can continue to run that office without an active law degree, I have seen, and again, this is Senator Fontana saying this, I have seen no evidence that the state's top prosecutorial office is on the brink of collapse because its elected leader has taken a greater administrative role. So has this hinged in effect on Kathleen Kane's ability to prove essentially that she can still do her job without the law license, or at least to enough satisfaction of the Democratic senators in that particular body?
Right. Well, I mean, I think that's a really good question. I think, you know, for now, obviously, you know, the question is still out there because the House is launching a process to impeach her, and the Senate took a vote yesterday that did pass, allowing them essentially to do a do-over, to maybe try this process of removing her again. But as far as it stands, you know, I don't think that the legal questions have necessarily been settled. This was just, you know, a political debate on the Senate floor. But essentially, without that two-thirds vote, you know, at the end of the day, what was decided was, you know, really in favor of the Democrats' argument that Kane, you know, has an office of hundreds of prosecutors that work on their behalf, and they still have their law licenses, so there's nothing preventing them from being the state's top attorneys.
And there was maybe some question going into this as to whether the Democrats would stick together against that effort to unseat Kathleen Kane. But it looked like they really did stick together. And I don't know to what extent it was a concerted strategy on the part of the Democrats. But as you mentioned, it was just one who voted against it, right?
That's exactly right. That was Senator Rob Teplitz from Dauphin County. And you saw only one Republican, Senator Greenleaf, vote against removing Kane, which was kind of an interesting way that the vote came down.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We're talking with reporter Katie Culinary of WHYY. She's been covering the action in Harrisburg, the vote yesterday taken by the state Senate to remove her from office. And while the majority of Republicans voted in favor of Kathleen Kane's removal, 29-19, that was not enough of a majority, a two-thirds majority, which was required to remove her. Was there a threshold, though, however, yesterday, Katie, that was reached that would allow another vote to be taken?
Not when it came to that 29-19 vote, no, but there was a second vote that the Senate took immediately afterwards, and that was on a motion to reconsider. That did not require a two-thirds vote, and so that measure passed, and essentially it allows the Senate to take a do-over. They can try this process again sometime in the future if they want to. And that motion, you know, the procedure is that it goes to what's known as the Rules Committee, and then the Rules Committee, I believe, can recommend again that the full Senate take that up. So we could see kind of a Groundhog Day repeat of yesterday, but it's looking like the real action to watch is going to be in the House, which voted to launch a formal process to impeach Kane yesterday, hours before the Senate took its vote.
So how does that play out? So they say, okay, we're going to engage in a process to impeach her on the Senate side, on the House side. Meanwhile, though, on the Senate side, the process that led up to yesterday's vote, it was a pretty long process, wasn't it? So is it going to be the same kind of dragged out situation in the House, or could we see something, a vote or something more substantial happen sooner?
Let's talk about the impeachment process first. So basically what the House did yesterday was overwhelmingly vote in favor of a resolution that gives the green light to a subcommittee. And that subcommittee is charged with investigating whether there's good cause, there's good reason that Kane should face articles of impeachment. So first, that committee is going to have to do its work. And then if it does find that there's cause to impeach her, the House would have to take a vote. And if that passes, it goes on to the Senate. So sort of on and on. It's another sort of long process. I'm hearing, and it's been reported, that that committee might be able to make its recommendation sometime in the spring. But, of course, these things always kind of drag out. And as you mentioned, this process that led to the Senate vote yesterday, that took several months of hearings and of giving notice to people to testify. And so who knows how long this process could really take.
And meanwhile, Kathleen Kane's trial is scheduled to begin again on August 8th. That's just about 6 months from now. So do you anticipate, Katie, and you kind of hinted at this earlier, are we going to hear more about Porngate? Will there be more emails released? What exactly is going to occur between now and then?
Right. Well, I mean, as with many of these Porngate stories, we just don't know what to expect. They kind of seem to just keep coming. But in her response to the votes yesterday, Kane said that she's vowing to press on, that it was a good day for everybody who wants to see justice done and to see her expose these lawyers and judges and others in the state judicial system who have been sending, she contends, inappropriate, offensive, lewd emails. And so she vowed that the special prosecutor that she appointed to review the emails will continue with his work. And I imagine that process will continue. But as you noted, her trial is scheduled for August. And the other kind of big thing in the background here is she's running again to be state attorney general for a second term. And she's got several challengers. That race is heating up. Next week is the deadline to file nomination petitions. That's the voters in your party that you need their signatures in order to be able to be on the ballot. So next week is another important milestone in that race, and we'll see what kind of support she's getting, whether any of these stories about her criminal charges, the Porngate stuff, this vote that happened in the Senate, this vote that happened in the House, how that is all affecting her in the eyes of voters who, frankly seem kind of confused. A lot of this is very political insight baseball, and I think a lot of voters, many of them don't quite know what to make of all of this.
Well, there's certainly a lot to sift through, and yesterday's activity in the legislature was certainly proof of that. WHYY reporter Katie Culinary has been following this for us and joined us by phone from Philadelphia. Katie, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
My pleasure, Paul. Thanks.
Coming up, should money be collected from parking meters after 6 p.m. in the city's entertainment district? And what should it be used for? It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.